Here's a question for you. Can you actually create a genius, or is a genius born? I mean, I would be of the view that you are born smart. You are born as a genius. You can teach and coach yourself to be smarter, but I think inherently you are born with a gene that means you're a genius. Right? Why do I raise that? Well, we are running a series on the Macquarie Radio Network called Decoding Genius. It's a new podcast created for GE, produced by this network. It focuses on the lives and journeys of six young geniuses from around the world, interviewing experts in intelligence, and examines whether genius is born, as I said, or is bred. That series you can look up at this web address, decodinggenius.com.au. One of the participants is Alan Thompson. He's got a fascinating background, based in Perth, specialises in coaching high performers. He's on the line. Great to talk to you, Alan.
Hey, Steve. How are you going?
Good, thanks. You're a director of Life Architect. Now, that business is employed by families who suspect that they've got a smart child, and then you step in and try and coach them. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Not just gifted children, gifted families, also high performers in any area, or children that want to become high performers. So certainly a high IQ is a really good foundation, but you know, I've got kids as well who just specialise in music or just specialise in sports, or who specialise in achievement, like school achievement, which is a whole different kettle of fish.
So that question about whether you're born or you can be taught, where do you fall on that question?
Look, I think it's a bit of a combination of both. We look at the idea of nature and nurture, and certainly there's some fascinating examples out there. You've got the Newman dynasty there in Hollywood. David Newman, Randy Newman, you would have heard of, guys that composed most of the movies. And they've got about six or seven brothers, sisters, cousins in that lineage that have done extraordinary things. So it must be a combination in that example of genetics, but also the way they've been brought up, the way they've been parented. And I certainly see that all the way through my clients as well.
So when you sign up to take somebody on, how do you test that the person you're about to try and coach is worthy of your genius?
That's a great question. So a lot of the time my coaching comes in after the psychologist. So the psychologist does the IQ test using the Wechsler or the Stanford-Binet standard IQ test. They come out with a number, and sometimes that's useful. Sometimes that's something like knowing their height or their weight, and we can just work around that, same as you would when you're jumping into a basketball court, for example. It's good to have that metric to know where we're starting from. My coaching also includes a lot of assessments. We look at the Gallup Strengths Finder, which is a really popular and well-tested, rigorously tested look at talent, look at passion, look at what their strengths are, and we combine that with a bunch of different tests, including looking at their needs, their values, their growth environment. So, I like integrating assessments into the coaching.
The method most of us would be familiar with is an IQ test. What is an IQ test? And how does the IQ scale? How was that constructed?
Yeah, excellent question. So, look, IQ itself is pretty controversial. It started in 1908 when a guy called Binet came up with this concept, and it was originally developed to bring people into conscription so we knew who we were taking into the army. And in a lot of ways, we were testing to find out if they were under 100, we were looking at the kind of the bottom 50% of the scale for interest. But these days, we also are also very interested in what's happening at the top, and certainly the top 2%, the kind of IQ that Mensa would accept. That's really a fertile ground for this genius that we're looking at today.
So the concept of someone being a genius is actually interpretive. I mean, there is an interpretation. Some people would say that person's a genius. Others would say not so much.
Look, the IQ tests are pretty cut and dry.
Okay.
Just talking about intelligence.
Yeah.
We at the very first episode of Decoding Genius, we let Professor Mirica Gross, who's the emeritus professor at UNSW in Sydney, give some definitions for us. And she says, look, IQ gifted 1 in 100. Yep, they're up there. They can use that label. When we're talking about genius, though, we're talking about the 1 in 1,000,000. But certainly, when we're defining intelligence and defining IQ, that's pretty set in stone, and that's pretty accepted worldwide, despite it being a controversial metric.
How young can you spot somebody who's potentially a genius when you consider that you're talking one in a million? Does the fact that they are so blindingly smart show itself at an early age? I mean, have you got kids that are 2 years old reciting the alphabet backwards in the car while they're driving along with mum and dad?
That's a good example. You might know some of my clients.
I've tried. Tried to get my kids to do it. It didn't work.
I'm also the National Gifted Children's Coordinator for Australian Mensa, and in fact, I've just been invited to chair the International Committee as well for Mensa International. And Australian Mensa just took on our youngest member at 2 years and 10 months old.
No.
Which is about the bottom limit that you can do that IQ testing about 2 years old.
2 years, 10 months in Mensa.
Right. That's right. Obviously, that's quite visible for the parents. So they are seeing things like reading, even at 1 year old, for 1 year old, for some of our examples. Prodigious memory, even at that age, whether recognizing photos and faces. Very, very early vocabularies, of course.
That's frightening.
Oh, absolutely.
If I was a parent of that child, I'd be going, what do I do now?
It is. And look, I don't work with clients that age, but certainly our psychologists get access to some very, very young and bright children.
Give us an example of someone really bright that you have worked with. You don't have to give a name, but give the qualities of the person.
Look, they're all over the place. They've got talent in all sorts of different domains. When we're talking about genius, when we're talking about this one in a million, I like to think of it as a superpower. And one of the clients I had come in last year had one of these superpowers. She had what we call synesthesia or ideasthesia. As a subset of ideasthesia, and she was able to map different senses to other different senses. So, for example, some people who have synesthesia, when they hear someone's name, they taste a particular flavour. This 8-year-old girl, whenever she heard a letter or a number, she would automatically have a colour mapped in her head. And the research shows us that she wasn't alone. So what she thought of as the colour for the letter A was the same as someone in America or Europe would think of in that link between that colour and that letter or number. Fascinating stuff. I told her she definitely had a superpower.
I have a regular spot on the program where I talk to medical specialists from the San Hospital in New South Wales. Mm. And when they come into the studio, male, female, age doesn't matter, and you're talking to a brain surgeon or someone who's a specialist in another field of medicine, you just get a sense when you're talking to those people that they are extraordinarily bright, and invariably they are very, very able to explain their field of expertise in a very simple way. And it strikes me every time I do one of those interviews that I am talking to some of the brightest people on the planet. You just know when they're sitting there.
Right, right. It's visible and it's also audible as well. You can hear the way that they come up with concepts, the way they articulate themselves in that particular, as you say, in that particular level of genius.
Well, see, they've got to get a high ATAR level to get into university, go and study medicine anyway, so they're naturally probably pretty bright. Would we know, if we tracked back, would people have said to Bill Gates, you're a genius, or to Steve Jobs, or do people like that grow into the job that they've obviously become fabulously wealthy doing?
Yeah, excellent question. I wonder. Certainly Steve Jobs and Bill Gates are fascinating examples of genius that has really gone all the way through their lives. They were doing that from quite young. Mm. They were discovering things and doing things in a big way, and obviously then exploded in adulthood to how prolific they are right now, or certainly Bill Gates continues to be. I think it's something that goes right the way through the lifespan. If they are treated correctly, if they are in the growth environment that they need to be in, if they've got the support and assistance to continue building on their strengths. And to be honest, Steve, that kind of is a bit of a rare thing.
What's the smartest nation on earth?
I wouldn't want to guess. I'd like to think Australia's up there.
Let's say Australia. So the series, if people log on to decodinggenius.com.au, it's a podcast. They can download it. And it's got a number of episodes. Traces the journey, as I said, of six young geniuses around the world. Great project, well worth being involved in. Nice to talk to you, Alan Thompson. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.